for the first time since we've been working together, AMAC told me I'm hat instead of my normal. You're hot. You're hot, Rooster. Have a good show.
It was just a little accent on it. That's all.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Is that what you call it? An accent instead of an accident?
Yeah. Anytime I mess up, it's just an accent.
Mm. Interesting. Well, with that, we welcome you aboard, one and all. On this Monday, it is steamy out there, baby. Took a mile and a half-ish walk this morning. Oof. Rooster was a sweaty little mess. Of course, I'm the only idiot in America that wears sweatpants or nylon work pants, workout pants, and a long-sleeve quarter zip while doing such activities, because I literally loathe bugs. So I just try and cover up my body as much as I possibly can, which I realize for many of you is probably not exactly what you want to hear about, my body sweating, all of that stuff. But I mean, whew.
Is it like a two-in-one deal, like where you're trying to avoid the bugs but trying to sweat more? Or is it...
Perhaps. I mean, that is part of the theory, right? And I knew I had to take a shower and all that good stuff. Yeah, perhaps, right? You're trying to sweat it out, man. Trying to get all that water weight off of you. So anyway, it is hot out there. Be safe. Be careful. Drink lots of water. All that good stuff. It is the Major League Baseball All-Star break. It is a post-Major League Baseball draft, at least the first couple of rounds. The rest of it going on right now in Atlanta. We will probably not spend a whole lot of time on what's going on today, but certainly last night. We will. We have the Home Run Derby tonight, James Wood. We have Mike Rizzo buying everybody a beer at a couple of local establishments tonight. So, you know, look forward to that. And as well, you have the All-Star Game tomorrow. And I was a busy, busy, busy boy this weekend. Between Summer League action for the Wizards, all the Nationals, the baseball draft, and all the professional wrestling, because that's my side gig too, man. You know, do a podcast, and I have to update a Twitter feed. So I am constantly monitoring the wrestling. And congratulations to new AEW heavyweight champion, Cowboy, what the hell's his name?
Cowboy Bryan.
No. Not Cowboy B. Adam Hangman Page. They call him the Cowboy. He is a Virginia native and a Virginia Tech alum. So there you go. In a bloody bloodbath of a match on Saturday afternoon at Globe Life Field in Texas. So congratulations to him. So I watched a bunch of professional wrestling over the weekend, including Goldberg's final match, or so they say, in Atlanta on NBC on Saturday night's main event. So I was a busy boy. Got some stuff done, got three workouts in, and all of that good stuff. And I started finally, for the most part, to feel better over the weekend. Still not, you know, out of the woods, but I'm kind of like returning to my old self again. So good. That's good. That's good. Hope everybody had a good weekend. AMAC is back with us for the first time. And how long have you been out? It seems like you've been out for like a week or so. You know, you were out Wednesday, you were back on Thursday, you were out Friday, you were out Saturday, you were out Sunday while we were burning up the midnight oil, and now you're here.
You were here?
Yeah. Okay. You just didn't hear me. I mean, I was here in spirit.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Not the Washington spirit, but here in spirit. Nobody else was here to, you know, like it's like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to see it, you know, I mean, did it actually fall? You know.
Was your breakfast a little leafy today? You're talking like it.
I had half a banana and some hash browns from Dunkin' Donuts on the way in with my coffee. I was going to get here early and go to the local bagel shop and bring you boys in some treats. And of course, you know, I had an ambitious schedule. I had to be on the Junkies this morning at 8:25. That was great. If you missed that, go check it out on the podcast. By the way, you can check out the podcast anywhere. This show, The Junkies, what have you. Of course, on the Odyssey app, but also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can listen to the show live or on demand on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, of course, the Odyssey app, Team 980, everywhere in between. But if you missed me on The Junks this morning at 8:25 talking about the Nationals draft and Terry McLaurin, please go check that out. Then I had to do TV on ABC 7, News Channel 8 there with Natalie, my friend Natalie Spala, which won't air until Wednesday, but still did that. Then the mile and a half walk, then I was out of gas, man. Your boy needed to like sit down like an old man for about 20 minutes and recapture my breath. And then, boom, you know, just bang, 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 phone calls, all sorts of things. So anyway, here we go. Coming up later on in the show, we're going to talk about the new ESPN top 10 quarterback list, which is their crown jewel, and where obviously Jaden ranked, and I'm sure many of you will be pleased. As well, we're going to get into a little bit of the Terry McLaurin thing. We're going to touch on the Wizards in the summer league. We're going to do plenty of, again, baseball with all the different things going on. So I wanted to start there and start this way. Listen, everybody should be surprised, but nobody should really be surprised, is how I would start kind of my opening thoughts on Eli Willits. The number one overall pick last night for the Nationals at 1-1. When we last left you on this show on Friday, and I am not a draft expert, but obviously you pay more attention to it when the Nationals are 1-1 or have a high pick, of course, naturally. Number two, you know, I've got people that I talk to on a regular basis in the baseball industry. I can't hold my own with them if I don't know anything, okay? So I left you, and I thought, and I said, Kate Anderson out of LSU would like slight lean towards that. But I said, I'm scheduled to have a conversation with somebody in the baseball industry that does not work for the Nationals, that I implicitly trust, that knows a lot about the draft. I'll just leave it at that. And I said, that might change my opinion. So I had that conversation on Friday. And we were talking about a bunch of different things, and he's telling me how Kate Anderson kind of projects to a lighter version of Max Fried, Garrett Crochet from the Red Sox. Maybe as high as a number two, more likely a number three. And I started to think, gosh, you can't do that at 1-1, right? And pay this super high salary, and he's a Boris guy, and all that. I said, he's maybe the most ready to come up, and I think that was certainly driving, and what he did during the College World Series, all of that. So my friends at Talk Nat, so I mentioned regularly, reached out and said, hey, on Saturday, you know, do you want to offer a couple of paragraphs, whatever, for a piece that they were putting together on the number one overall pick, which included a breakdown of all the different possible options, so on and so forth. And I switched begrudgingly, and I admitted begrudgingly, to Ethan Holliday. And the reason why I did that was because that seemed to be the consensus from a lot of people. One, best power bat in the draft. Two, and of course, the bloodlines, the lineage, his brother a couple of years ago, his dad, so on and so forth. Again, a Scott Boras client. I take this stuff a little bit more seriously than maybe I should. But I begrudgingly on Talk Nats switched to from Kate Anderson to Ethan Holliday, right? Brother of Jackson with the Orioles, son of Matt, so on and so forth. Best power bat in the draft. High school shortstop, so on and so forth. And I think, listen, most people had those guys going 1-2. Most people. I know the odds makers who know absolutely nothing. Let me repeat once again, and it was exposed once again, as usual, The odds makers know absolutely nothing. They are simply trying to establish a market and get you to bet. They are hoping to bring in to be as wrong as little as possible, as right as much as possible. And I will never understand those that think that odds makers have some secret formula or secret information. They do not. Okay? They do not. And how do I know this? Again, there's countless examples of, oh, hey, this favorite and that favorite and this guy, you know. And I just heard from someone on the way, the odds say this. And for the home run derby, James Wood, I think, is third in the home run derby. Means nothing. They don't know. They have no idea. They're just calculating and they're taking an educated guess on which way they can get action and which way they can make a little bit of a profit. That's it. They don't know that Cal Raleigh is going to win this thing just because he's the favorite. They're guessing. They're taking an educated guess based on data and stats. That's it. We'll talk about the home run derby coming up. The point being is, there isn't a soul alive that had Eli Willits and Tyler Bremner number 1-2 yesterday in that order. And any odds that I saw, Eli Willits, who does go number one overall, was in the rest of the group, rest of the field category. As a matter of fact, our old friend Tim Murray even pointed that out. I said, well, yeah, that doesn't do me any good. I mean, for everybody that swears by odds makers knowing something and having some sort of inside information, that doesn't do me any good. But yesterday morning, after that initial conversation with a friend that I trust, that is a real good pal of mine, that works in Major League Baseball, I can't tell you where, and is very, very, very involved in the draft and knows a lot of people. He called me. He texted me late Saturday night and said, I've got some new information for you. I'll call you in the morning. I said, okay, fine. So he calls me about 11:30 roughly Sunday morning. And he says the name to watch for the Nationals at 1-1 is Eli Willits. And I said, okay. I said, I'm starting to hear a little steam. Like, I know Barry Sverluga put out something about that. That's the name to watch. Grant Paulson put out, that was the name that was starting to spec, whatever. Okay. A name to watch is different than that's going to be the pick. But it turns out that that's the pick. But he also said to me, the same person, he also said to me, he goes, watch out for Tyler Bremner at 1-1. And I said, Tyler who? I said, Tyler's my son's name. Uh-uh. Tyler Bremner from UC Santa Barbara. In play at 1-1. And I said, man, I said, that would be crazy. I said, he's like 17, 18, 19 on most people's draft boards, lists, whatever. Not that those are official, not that those are internal, whatever. I said, boy, that would be nuts. I said, what's the reason? And he said flat out, he goes, Boris. So the industry buzz all weekend was certain teams were looking to avoid Scott Boris clients. And the Nationals are never going to say on the record that they were. But you can damn sure pretty much guarantee that that was part of their deliberation. How much? I don't know. Because, again, the baseball draft, unlike other drafts, is about not only talent, but it's also about finding guys that are signable and signability, one, and two, finding guys that are not going to squeeze every last damn dollar out of the rock so that you have more money down the line to take a player and maybe spend over the slotted value in the second round, in the third round, wherever, like it appears that the Nationals have done. We'll get to that later on. In order to sign as many guys as you can and to get guys that are falling because, again, they are looking for more money or exactly the amount of money as the slot assigned value. Baseball is different than the NFL, which is different than, of course, the NBA. And in the NBA, you have to sometimes worry about with international kids, whether or not they're going to be able to get over here and so on and so forth, right? But you don't have to worry about slot values. You don't have to worry about underslot, overslot, this, that, and the other thing, signing bonus pools, all that. Football, you obviously have to not worry about that at all, or you don't worry about it at all. And you don't really worry about agents. But with baseball, you worry about an agent like Scott Boras. You worry about overslot, underslot. You worry about signability. And you worry about talent. And talent is sometimes difficult to negotiate because sometimes you're dealing with college talent. Sometimes you're dealing with high school talent. So all of that combined into one big recipe to land on Eli Willits for the Nationals. And here's why I believe they picked Eli Willits. A, he's the best shortstop in the draft. That's right. Ethan Holliday is listed as a shortstop. I don't think anybody thinks Ethan Holliday is staying at short. As a matter of fact, person I was talking to, again, who knows these kind of things or is very involved in these type of things, said Ethan Holliday probably a corner outfielder. So, again, there's value in that. Ethan Holliday has tremendous power. He's going to hit 40 home runs a year if he hits his ceiling at Coors Field in Denver. He is. And he might make the Nationals look bad. But the Nationals took, in a draft where 1-1 was wide open, they feel, and a lot of industry experts feel, not everyone, they feel they took the best player. The best player. What do we mean by best player? It doesn't mean the guy who hits the most prodigious home runs. The guy who might be Mark McGwire Jr. as his career goes on. It means the best player, literally and figuratively. And that's defense. And that's swingability. Right? That doesn't mean, and when I mean swingability, that's a poor word, but that means making contact, driving the ball. That means hitting contact, opposite fields, the ability to adjust to breaking pitches, so on and so forth. Right? And here's another thing that you have to figure out, and we will ultimately have to wait. But the approximate pick value of that pick is listed at $11.08 million. The Nationals had, I think it was like 16.2 or whatever it is. So that's, you know, more than two-thirds or about two-thirds of their allotted pool. If they can get Eli Willits signed to a lesser deal, that gives them more money throughout the rest of the draft to sign. So if he's the best overall player, contact, driving the ball, hitting to all fields, hitting left-handers and right-handers, smooth swing, not a big swing-and-miss type guy. Remember when they drafted Elijah Green a couple of years ago? Some people had a big-time problem. Oh, man, he's got prodigious power, but a lot of swing-and-miss. Well, guess what? They were right, and the Nationals were wrong so far, okay? So I think they were looking for the best all-around hitter and the best all-around fielding option, and that was Eli Willits. And I think the Nationals got that guy, and it just so happens that he's not a Scott Boras guy, and it just so happens that he's probably going to cost them less than the approximate pick value. We'll see about that, but he's probably going to cost them less. And there's a reason why they know that, because they were already in touch with his agent. They were already in touch with his camp. And they say, how much is it going to take? What are you looking for? All right, let's get an idea. If we were to go here, boom, 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 boom. And you know he's got the bloodlines. His dad was a major league player and a recent coach. So Eli Willits is number one overall to the Nationals. I know that's not the sexy pick, but I think it's ultimately the right pick. Ultimately. I don't know that for sure, but I think ultimately it's the right pick. But it's not the sexy pick. And I want to know from you guys, how disappointed, if you were you, that they didn't take Cade Anderson or and more specifically, Ethan Holiday. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, 22 minutes after the hour, just getting rocking and rolling on a Monday. Back to work Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. This, Little Rooster on the Radio. I am Chris Russell. Good to have you with us at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You shut your mouth, I'll come out there and slap the syphilis right off your face.
Well, that's not very nice of The Rock to say. See, now I got to get used to working with you again, AMAC. So on Friday, Mad Max was here, and he turns on my mic right away. And you are a little bit more, hey, let me like roll back something, whether it be a soundbite or whatever, or The Rock being nasty to the people of New Orleans. So I've got to remember. So I had a false start. I'm Laramie Tunsil Jr. over here. False start on the host, 5 yards, still first down.
This is why people get upset with you. That was so unwarranted.
Why? Because I took a cheap shot at this starting left tackle of the Washington Commanders?
Yeah.
He led the NFL in false starts last year. Come on now.
No, I get it. It's a great
correlation. Come on now. I thought it was pretty funny.
No.
I better watch out before Laramie Tunsil puts me on his social media.
Exactly.
I'm not Linnell Willingham over here. All right, anyway, the Nationals with the number one overall pick, they take Eli Willits. Again, I don't expect Nationals fans to know a lot about Eli Willits. I don't expect them to be all fired up. I get it. I'm smart. I understand. I wasn't born yesterday. What I wanted to know was, were you upset? Were you bothered? Were you mad when you were, based on any of you that might care or that do care, when you heard all along, Cade Anderson, Ethan Holiday, Cade Anderson, Ethan Holiday? And really, those were the two names. Sure, there were some other names thrown into the mix peripherally, but those were the two main names. Were you upset at all in any way, shape, or form? Or do you go, you know what? I trust this new group. Now, as far as the new group, remember, it's a new group in that Mike Rizzo isn't making the decision anymore. I had heard through multiple people that if Mike Rizzo was still in charge, that it would have been Cade Anderson. Maybe that was the way it would have been. And I think everybody would have been okay with that. They said, Mike DeBartolo said, hey, you know what? This was the guy we wanted all along. And he said, I think we have the audio, which we'll play for you coming back. I think he even said, like, the scouting staff wanted all along. I believe he specifically said that. And that's like Danny Haas. Those guys haven't changed. Those guys did not change. Those guys have been working their ass off to study all this stuff. So maybe that was the guy, Eli Willits, the guy that they wanted all along. And maybe they would have lost out if Mike Rizzo was still here. And maybe DeBartolo listened to those guys and said, well, you guys have been working your ass off all year long for this. I'm going to trust your instinct. And, oh, yeah, I like this. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's probably under slot. Oh, yeah, by the way, all of this stuff. Right? And then it's the guy we wanted all along, which could be true. I mean, again, people evaluate talent very differently. It's like talk show hosts, right? Some of you hate me. Some of you swear by me. Some of you tolerate me. Some of you enjoy me. Again, everybody's taste is different. Everybody's evaluation is different. Doesn't make you wrong. Doesn't make you right. It's very possible that the scouting people, the people that actually spent hours and hours and hours, wanted Eli Willits more than any other prospect. Why? Because he's the best all-around prospect. He's a better all-around player than Ethan Holiday. They feel he's got a higher ceiling than Cade Anderson. Seth Hernandez was a high school right-hander. Tyler Bremner came from nowhere. He's the best all-around prospect. So it's very likely that the scouting people just fell in love with him. And that's okay, because they know more than you, and they know more than I. And we can all be big boys and adults and acknowledge that maybe he's easier to sign. And maybe he costs less and gives the Nationals more flexibility. We can all be adults. And maybe because the other guys were Boris clients, they wanted to avoid them. We can all be adults. All right, time for a trending alert, and then we will get out to your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up later on, who is the best quarterback as graded by ESPN, or is ranked, I should say, by ESPN and executives, coaches, and scouts? And where did Jaden Daniels rank ultimately? I think you'll be happy. As well, an NFL young star, let's call him that, wants out? Okay. We'll discuss all of that later on the radio program on this Monday. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Of course, on your radio on the Team 980 all throughout the DMV. Let's go to a trending alert. All right. Tonight it is the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby from Truist Park in Atlanta. James Wood representing the Nationals. He has the third best odds for whatever it's worth, which is absolutely nothing. That is coming up tonight. Of course, Home Run Derby. The All-Star Game, I should say, is tomorrow night. The Nationals finish up the first half absolutely miserable stretch. They are now 20 games under 500, not until Friday that we get to see them back in action again tonight. I should say again this week to start the second half against San Diego. Meanwhile, the Wizards winning in summer league action in Vegas last night. All the young stars showing up and playing well. Tonight in the WNBA, you have a couple of games. You have Minnesota and Chicago, and Angel Reese, who's coming off an absolutely awful game. Phoenix and Golden State. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers back in the NBA have extended their president of basketball operations, Kobe Altman, through the 2029-2030 season. And that's what's trending.
With the first pick of the 2025 MLB draft, the Washington Nationals select Eli Willits, a shortstop from Fort Cobb Broxton High School in Fort Cobb, Oklahoma.
All right, our guy Ben Strober will join us in a little bit. Why? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, and by the way, that was Rob Manfred, Commissioner Rob Manfred, announcing Eli Willits at number one overall. Strobes is going to join us in a little bit. And he, part of the reason why we're having him, is he called the games in the Cape Cod League of Nationals second round pick, Ethan Petrie, who's a prodigious power hitter. Excuse me. So the Nationals bypassed the better power hitter at 1-1 overall in Ethan Holliday, and yet still got a very prodigious, at least so far, power hitter in Petrie in the second round. We'll talk to Strobes about that. Plus, he's the host of the Locked On Wizards podcast. The Wizards with a big performance last night in the summer league. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So I wanted to just, again, kind of circle around, and then we'll move on because I just understand the market. Eli Willits is not going to be here until probably a minimum of sometime middle, maybe to late 2027. There's a chance, an outside chance, that he could be here to start 2027. The kid barely has hair on his chest. I mean, honestly, he might not. He's 17 years old, and I think he's still 4 or 5 months away from being 18. But the Nationals took him because he was the best player in the draft. Now, again, I've heard that if Mike Rizzo was still there, they almost surely would have gone Cade Anderson. Don't know that to be, if that wouldn't have changed, I don't know. I believe that to be true because, A, Cade Anderson is a damn good pitcher. B, it's hard to find left-handed pitchers that are talented and polished and are advanced and can be in the major leagues midway through next year. It's hard to find them. And if he's sub-max freed, hey, you can do a lot worse than that. The problem for me, I guess, with Cade Anderson, ultimately, a couple of things. One, some people view him more as a three than a two. We're not even talking number one. That's number one. Number two, as it was pointed out to me over the weekend by a source, he already had Tommy John surgery, right? And there's generally a ticking or a timeline for a pitcher to a second Tommy John surgery. And you have to kind of say, okay, if he's already a year and a half removed from the first Tommy John surgery, is there another one in the offing 5-6 years from now? And if that's, you know, like that plays in. And he's a Boris guy. And this. And that. And he's not a number one. So again, you weigh it all in. You take it all in. And I think, and I'm not stooping for anybody here. I'm not stooping at all for anybody here. I think they took the best player. I believe some of the hype, a lot of the hype. Those guys on ESPN last night had no idea what was going to happen at the top of that draft. They may have mentioned Eli Willits in their opening, but they were so fast to get to commercial break, I don't think they did. And then when Eli Willits went number one and the kid from UCSB went number two, and again, I had somebody call me yesterday morning and said, "There now." I had somebody else tell me that the kid from UC Santa Barbara that went number two to the Angels was not in play for the Nationals. Okay? So, again, things, all sorts of sources say different things. So I'm just presenting it and throwing it out there. But those guys on ESPN who do a great job and who do this year-round, they had no idea that what happened at the top of the draft last night was going to happen. I mean, I didn't hear anybody talk about Eli Willits going number one until maybe Saturday night. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear anybody. Point being is, not only is this a crapshoot, but a lot of it is based on, again, signability and under and over slot demands, asks, wants, whatever. And teams are very careful to play the game. So just keep that in mind. All right, let's take a quick timeout, get back on track. Strobes will join us. Again, he called the games in the Cape Cod League of Ethan Petrie, the national second-round pick, power hitter from South Carolina. So we're going to get his thoughts, what he saw firsthand. And also, he's a co-host of the Locked On Wizards podcast. So we'll talk a little bit about the Summer League before the top of the hour. And then we'll get to your calls on the other side of 2 o'clock on the Team 980. And we're always streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Y'all, you don't have to make fun of me, AMAC, every chance you get. But that's okay. If you want to, you know, belittle me, that's all right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. 47 minutes after the hour. Let me correct a mistake I made. Angel Reese, I mentioned coming off an awful game, and somebody pointed it out on Twitter that she wasn't a rational fan at RC_fan91. I saw the wrong thing. I saw a stat line on Instagram from somebody who clearly wanted to expose Angel Reese, and it was like 2 points and like, so my bad. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's hard to keep up with everything. She's been great. She had a moment. Recently, I don't know, remember which game. Ooh, brutal. All right, joining us right now is our guy Ben Strober. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Strober Media as part of the 106.7 Team 980 crew here. Mr. Strobes, appreciate you. How are you?
I
Ooh, wait. Well. Let's get your microphone up. Sorry, I forgot to lift up the lever.
We're good. We're good. I'm doing well, Rooster. Appreciate you having me on. It's a good day here in the district. A lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, besides Wizard Summer League, which we'll get to in a sec, is you called the Cape Cod Summer League games last year of national second round pick Ethan Petrie. Big power hitter, South Carolina. He won the league MVP of the Cape Cod League. And now he's the national second. And I was just pointing out, it's kind of ironic because they bypassed a big power bat in Ethan Holliday. And a lot of people are kind of like wondering why for Eli Willits. Well, then they go and get the power bat in Ethan Petrie.
Yeah, and this is a situation where they're also able to use him as a guy they probably underslot here with the 49th pick. And they've taken some notable high school guys, prep guys, in the next couple of rounds, guys that project really well, high-ceiling players.
Yep.
And they'll be able to overslot pay those guys. So they save money with the first two picks they made. And Petrie is a premium that the Nats have been looking for a while. They're definitely in need of a first baseman long-term and somebody with pure power. And getting to call his games last year for the Yarmouth-Dennis Red Sox, this dude just has unbelievable raw power, especially to the pole side. And he's not just a power hitter. I know that's a lot of the rap that he'll get, but this is a guy that can hit well for average, gets on base with high efficiency. I think it was over 1,000 OPS in his career at South Carolina, slugged over 700.
Right. Not yet. Not just a power hitter. Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, the power tool is what the Nats are specifically looking for because they have lacked that now really for years, especially at first base.
And it's a power game. I mean, we see it all the time. Not that baseball is boiled down to hit a home run or strike out, but for a lot of guys, it's become really about that. And we know it's exit velocity, launch velo, all that stuff. But to your point, they haven't had a masher, a guy who can change around a game with one swing of the bat. James Wood can, but James Wood, I think, is a much, much more advanced player than just a masher. Sure, he can hit the long ball. Yes, he hits left-handers. Yes, he hits the all opposite. But he's a much probably more well-rounded player than Ethan Petrie is probably going to be. And I'm not trying to cut him short. When at the Cape Cod League, how would you describe the level of competition there? That is some of the best what?
It's the best of the best college baseball players. I mean, if you look across the board of who's been taken, especially in the early rounds of this draft, a ton of the pitchers pitched there on the Cape Cod Baseball League. Ethan Petrie, his freshman year at South Carolina, he took Paul Skenes deep, and then they instantly drug tested him the next day. That's a real story, by the way. But that's the best competition. You are facing elite MLB-level prospects, guys that are coming off their first or second year in college.
Great little nugget there, Strobes.
It's hilarious.
You're sure about that?
That's what he told me. I'm telling you verbatim what he told me.
Okay.
But getting to know a lot of those players, the people that have aspirations, you really get a feel for who is super serious, who's the most motivated. Ethan Petrie struck me as one of those guys. He would be one of the first people at the field every single day taking extra swings in the cage. And you know, he was so friendly to us broadcasting the games. When he would struggle or whatever, he would come up to us and tell us exactly what he thought was wrong with the swing, what he was trying to work on. He's a guy that lives and breathes baseball for the most part, and he just has a lot of fun while doing it. He got to play a variety of positions with our team. He was primarily an outfielder in college, and he did the same thing in the summer, but he had told me that he was going to be a pro-level player playing first base instead of the outfield. He kind of projects, to me, a great player comp if you reach the full ceiling that you want out of Ethan Petrie is a guy like Pete Alonso.
That was a comp that a lot of people had. Yeah.
Very similar build, play at first base, and just mashes the baseball, can change a game with one swing.
Listen, if the Nationals got Pete Alonso in the second round last night, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
You can do a lot worse than that. How long is the Cape Cod League, and how, you already talked about how aware he was of what he was doing right, wrong, whatever, where he was at, and accountable. How many games is that? Is it? Because I don't know a whole lot. I mean, I hear the Cape Cod League all the time, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, I'll break it down. It's 40 games summer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys.
So you get a good feel.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys also will not be there the whole summer because it usually starts while the regionals and super regionals are still going. In South Carolina the year before, was in the regional, and Ethan Petrie actually broke his finger in the regional. He played through it, and then once the season was over, he took about 2 weeks off to heal before he came up and joined us. So he played about 30 games, so that's a pretty significant sample size to see what he was able to do. And from the get-go, Just watching him swing in batting practice, it was like an absolute spectacle. You're like, my God, this dude is powerful. This
and guy and has he can hit to the opposite field too, and, yeah. And right center and all that, right?
Yep. He's got power, especially to the pole side, but he can take the ball the other way. Hits for average the other way pretty well. He's been known to pluck the ball in the gap in right center field. And for a guy his size, he's not slow. Like, he's got good enough speed where, you know, he can make a difference on the base paths. He's not going to be a liability out there running the bases. I'll tell you that right now.
All right. Good little lowdown from somebody who has called, you know, many games of Ethan Petrie, the national second round pick. Our guy Ben Strober, part of the 106.7 and T980 family here at Ben Strober Media on Twitter and X. All right, so one of the other reasons why we wanted to have you on just for a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour is the Wizards Summer League. Impressive last night. They lost on Friday night. Who cares? But you know, clearly Trey Johnson has been a buzz guy, and you would expect that as the number six overall pick. What stood out to you last night amongst the many things that stood out, I think?
Alex Saar protecting the rim. I know that's been the best part of his game, even from his rookie season while he was still working on his offensive development. And there were at times last night early on in the game, to me, where Alex Saar maybe pressed a little bit. And they were making a conscious effort to try to get him the ball and get him going, because he was pretty much non-existent in the first half in the game on Friday against Phoenix. And then he kind of padded his stats a little bit toward the end of the contest. Once he picked it up after kind of a slow start yesterday, because there are just a couple instances where I see Alex Saar around the rim, and maybe he lacks a little bit of coordination or something that could help him out. He just sometimes doesn't go up strong enough. But the second half, he was excellent. I thought he played confidently. I thought he played strong. And the way he's able to help from the weak side as a defender, because the big rap about Alex Saar is that he probably fits in as the four instead of the five long-term here at Washington. And if you are playing the four, he primarily will have him sometimes playing off the weak side. He's able to come over and be disruptive. I know Drew Timmy, I don't even know how old he is, but it seems like he's like 30 years old. He's not.
I would be willing to bet 38. I'm just teasing.
Well, once Timmy,
I mean, he's got that porn mustache, you know.
Once Timmy got his shot stuffed and Saar had his seventh block, I believe, he is a threat down there. There were a couple instances where guys would get around the paint and they'd see Saar right there coming, and they'd elect to dribble the ball back out or pass it. He is that kind of player that has an intimidation factor to him around the rim. He could have had double-digit blocks if there were a couple of opportunities right, where guys actually did decide to shoot the ball, but wisely they did not do it.
All right, quickly before the top of the hour, before we run out of time here, Will Riley looked good last night, the second first-round pick. As well, I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson, I had that crazy dribble off the dude's leg the other night. he had a couple of off-balance threes. I mean, it looks every bit the part. I know the level of competition is what it is. Nobody's putting him in the Hall of Fame, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Trey Johnson, honestly, to me, I've probably seen enough. He looks comfortable, he looks calm, and he looks just poised as a scorer at this level, and he is great with the basketball in his hands. And you know, you depart Jordan Poole this offseason. I think Trey Johnson instantly kind of slots in exactly as a similar type of player, a guy that you give the ball and say, we need a bucket, Trey. He will get you those opportunities. And I wouldn't be frustrated. I wouldn't be mad at all if they did want to see him play one more game, maybe with some of the other backup players that probably won't be playing in the regular season. Because I'm pretty sure, like, Bob, Keyshawn, and Saar probably done after game two from what we were hearing from a lot of the reporting before the summer league. But Trey Johnson absolutely just looks the part so far. And what we've seen defensively from him, too, is very impressive, because that's been the one negative aspect right, to his game that people talked about coming right, out of Texas, was that he was not a very tenacious defender. He is out there flying around to the basketball. I think the perimeter defense from the guards, Carrington and Johnson, has looked really good. The effort has been excellent from those two defensively. And, you know, Trey said it after the game. You know, they don't care if I can score the basketball. They care if I play defense. And, you know, you love to see a guy who has learned that mentality already from the organization since getting here just a couple weeks ago.
Well, I think that's the DNA of what Will Dawkins wants to build
here. That's right.
Is exactly how they kind of built it in Oklahoma City. Defense first. Defense first gives you a chance. Ben Strober, appreciate you, my friend. Great job on the insight on Ethan Petrie, the national second-round pick. You called his games in the Cape Cod League last summer, so good insight there that ain't going to be anywhere else. And as well on the Wizards, Locked On Wizards. Make sure you check out the guys. Summer League action going on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Rooster.
That's
always
my guy, Ben Strober, with us here on the Team 980. We're streaming live live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. We'll get back to the Nationals. We'll get back to Wizards Summer League next. Where did Jaden Daniels rank in ESPN's quarterback poll? That's next.